Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this rainy morning, Ahmad?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alana salam to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with a nice, beautiful, rainy day pouring from last night. Allah, this is a blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a nice rain. All the muck from the road, everything was getting cleaned up. All the disease will get cleaned up as well at the same time, Shabbat.
Yeah, you know, on the coffin duffin side of it, we know that Yunus Duma has lost his eldest daughter, Nazira Duma. Allah fill her qabr with noor. And you know the man so well. And recently he had donated a cemetery in, I think, Kwamashu, Ahmad.
That's correct, Yunus. Yunus and I go back long way, and you know, he was the chairman of the management board at the masjid in Spingo Beach. And then I served under him, very, very thorough in his work and very upright person, alhamdulillah. And you know, Allah give his daughter Jannatul Firdos and the family, give them sabr. That you know, we are travelers here in this dunya. Today we are, tomorrow we're not here, Shabbat. And Allah make it easy for the family, Shabbat.
I'll share a secret with you. When Yunus Duma was appointed the chairman of the Spingo Beach Masjid Management Committee, guess what he did? He came to me, he said, Shafat, I'm offering you the vice president or something like that position. And at that time, I was the Sheikh Didat Rahimullah. And I said, you know what, Yunus, I'm so honored, but my hands are full. I mean, I'm with this one and that one and many other organizations. But really, you know, these are small things that count in life. And these are, you know, it makes a great statement, Ahmad, that the person had confidence in you. I mean, like how you are close with AV and so forth. And I have quite a few friends that are like y'all, that, you know, encourage us, embrace us, and celebrate us. But moving on, you know, when you look at the latest that's coming through in the world of Kafan Dafan, what's your latest headlines?
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, we have a major problem. In fact, I'm getting on a regular basis 4 or 5, maybe sometimes 6 a day, attorneys are calling me from all over the province, all over KZN, as well as in some of them in from the other provinces as well. There is a huge backlog of DNA and getting the DNA report from Pretoria. They are running like about 3 years behind. So now it's causing a huge problem for our attorneys as well, because the problem is they cannot wind up the state, and you know, a lot of them, you know, the deceased state has to be wind up because the family needs some money. Because of that, they cannot move. So I'm taking this up very, very seriously at the moment, because end of the day, you know, you can't make the people wait 36 months and they got no other income. Whatever income was there in the state, now it's all frozen because of you can't get the DNA, and the executive cannot be properly appointed, or the issues that we have faced in Pretoria. Now, this is causing a big problem for most of the attorneys at the moment. And in fact, I'm going to be speaking to the Amal, who is the lawyers and accountants board, to see if I can help them somewhere. They can expedite it, write a letter on our behalf. And then when I'm in Pretoria, present this thing to them, so you know, so that the state can be wind up quickly, or there can be consents where the family can be given X amount from the state till the state has been winded up, because this is making a big problem. Some of them now have to, now they have got money, they have become zakatable. Now this is just not right. So this is an issue that is really, really, it's a serious matter, which I'm taking up at the moment, and inshallah, Allah make it easy so that some people are really, really desperate now. You know, the lawyers are telling, you know what, we can't do anything. Their monies are in the state. We cannot access this money for this family now. That is a massive problem for us, Shafat.
Absolutely, Ahmad. Looking at a message from Kalu. Kalu says, Assalamu alaikum. I like Ahmad Parak on the show, Brother Shafat. I want to know from him the history of Kabristan in South Africa, especially Muslims. Have we donated and have we maintained all this on our own money? We took nothing from the government. Shouldn't the government be giving the Muslims something in return by putting better fences and security around our Kabristan? Ahmad, how you respond to Kalu? Yeah?
See, See, Shafak Kalu, firstly, the good compliments, alhamdulillah. The issue that in most provinces, we Muslims are very, very lacking, and various societies are very, very lacking, that instead of taking, you know, I always maintain, and when I took over in 2001, all the Muslim cemeteries within the Tikwini municipality, at that time, you know, Shafar, the elders said, no, yeah, you know, they say, yeah, pagal hai, yeah, gando hai, you know what I mean? These guys, they just formed a body today and they want to take all these cemeteries from the council. Now you have to get your own boys to maintain. You have to pay the electricity. You have to pay the water account. And how are you going to sustain it and all that? But they didn't look at the bigger picture. By taking it over, it made a massive, big difference to us, because now we can bury any time of the night, any time of in the evenings we can bury, and we in control of our own destiny. That's the difference. Now, if you go to Cape Town, they have got they haven't taken yet. Cape Town Muslim population is much bigger than KZN, but they have not taken over the cemetery away from the city parks. They call them the city parks. Take it away from them and say, you know what? Let us run the cemeteries and maintain it. When it comes to dafan kafan work, Shafa, there is no shortage of money. People will give you, and especially Cape Malays will give you, they won't give you 1,000 rand. They will give you on a weekly basis 50 rand or 100 rand, or some of them will give you 20 rand. And that's how they normally do it in Cape Town. But up till today, they have not taken. Now, if you don't get a, if you get somebody passes away at 2 o'clock and your cutoff time is 4 o'clock, after four, then, which means you'll have to wait, unless it's a private cemetery. The Sufis have got some private cemetery. Mowbray Cemetery is private. But even Mowbray Cemetery, too, you can't bury. They say there's a cut-off time after 8. You can't bury. You'll have to wait till the next morning. That is not on, Shafa. What the Adith says, you need to hasten towards the cemetery, hasten towards the Kabristan. But we are lacking this now. We have taken it over in KZN. It made a big difference. And we got our own private cemetery, Dial Road, Flower Road, Hilal. Then we got others, IBC cemeteries and all that. Today, we don't have a problem in KZN. Even in the province, Ladysmith, Newcastle, they got our own cemetery. They're maintaining it ourselves. You go on a Friday, see how beautiful our cemetery, how clean our cemeteries are. Well, to answer Kalu, our people are lacking in the other provinces. They need to get up and say, you know what? And everybody saying, leave it to the state, what the state is doing. State won't do anything, Shafa. End of the day, they are battling to get cemeteries for their own people. They can't get, there is not suitable land because of the decomposition purposes and all that. There's a massive problem in the country in terms of burial space. If you get another issue here in the country, like what we had in 2020, we have a COVID issue here in the country. We want to be in big problem, because they're not looking at a bigger picture. But yet, Muslims, we should be buying our own cemetery, getting it converted into a cemetery, do the paperwork, and be. Islam teaches you to be self sufficient. I say to anybody, you building a masjid, put a flat there for your Muslim, put a flat there for your Imam Sahib, put some shops there, some cafes there or something, or put some other flats there where you will get, like Springo Beach, have got how many, about 6 or 5 flats there. They got a rental income. They're not going to look out to get money, because money, our lilla money is getting tighter by the day, because businesses are not, you know, for the last 3 months, yesterday I was watching this, rugby, and the guys were telling me, you know, for the last 3 months, business is so quiet. In the clothing manufacturing businesses at the moment, factories don't have work. This part of the year, you are buzzing with work. Things are bad at the moment. There's only zakat money at the moment floating. There's not much lilla money. Now, we need lilla money for the masjids and all our institutional, and it's getting tighter. That's why I say, even our cemetery to become self-sufficient, so that you'll be able to maintain your own cemetery, and we're not dependent on the state, Shafa.
8 or 4 Central African time, consciously connected, keeping your company on this red morning, alhamdulillah, in company with myself, Shafat Ahmad Khan, with Boniface on the board, and Councillor Ahmad Farooq joining us on his segment, Straight Talk with Ahmad Farooq. And Ahmad, I'm looking at a message here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Farooq. It's me, Shabir Osman. You know me from the Claywoods. I want to know, there is a Hindu Kabristan next to Flower Road, and there's many other type of Kabristans for the Hindus and also for the Yahudis. Do they maintain their own Kabristan like we Muslims do? Ahmad, that's a good question from Shabir Osman.
Shafat, far as the Hindus is concerned, it is a private cemetery. Then they will maintain themselves. If it's been with the Itigwini municipality, and if they have got the full right, like what we have got in the MOU, then they will maintain themselves. And the Yahuds have got their own cemeteries all over the province, and they maintain themselves. The Jewish community always, but they do not want it next to a Muslim cemetery for whatever reason. I cannot answer that because I had a lot of encounters with our Jewish brothers. They come to me and they say, you know, because in Brook Street, they have got one area segregated and picked up and everything. I told them that cemetery hasn't been used for the last 20 odd years. We need that cemetery to take it. Yes, yeah, no problem, Mr. Farooq. There is no problem. We can talk. Then he phones me. He says, can I meet you on site? We had a deputy board meeting. You know, they call themselves all the, you know, these padres, they call them deputies or whatever, for whatever reason. Allah knows best. He says, okay, fine. You know, we can give you this area here. There's about 50 graves or 60 graves there in Brook Street, right opposite if you go to our Bashapir Mazar is there. And he's barricaded. So I told him, yes, yes, we can take it over, and I'll just cut a wall and I'll make it into one big cemetery for him. He said, no. Before you do that, can you give us about 200,000 to 300,000 rand for this year? I said, what? I think you're a little bit confused. That land doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the city. Secondly, why do I have to pay you? I said, the only thing what I'll do for you is I'll get my team. We will dig up every single grave here and take out whatever remains are there, then you can take it and put it into Stellawood Cemetery, because that's where you want it. I don't have a problem. Up till today, they're still coming back because they want everything they want, you must pay. We're not going to pay. We said to, even I told Salim Kazi to, don't pay them. And if they, I will go to court, but we will not pay them because that it doesn't belong to them. It doesn't mean the council gave them that piece of ground. It belongs to them. It doesn't belong to them. And they're not going to use it. In fact, I'm going to speak to Salim again, and we must make an application and get it away from them, because there's another 50 graves, extra graves you'll be able to use, Shafat.
Alhamdulillah, and Jazakallah khairah for sharing that story. Looking at a message here, it's from Shokat. He says, Assalamu alaikum. Consciously Connected is my go-to show every morning. I'm listening to you very intently. May I ask our Councillor Ahmad Farooq that there have been an 80 million rand cocaine haul at King Shaka Airport. And then we also heard at the Durban Harbour that there was this cocaine stashed in paint tins. What is going on? Has Durban become a conduit for the criminality? And who are these mafias? Are they the Chinese, or are they the Pakistanis, or are they any other, or the Nigerians that are controlling the mafia of drug hauls in our place? They are ruining our children, and many are not telling us that a lot of Muslim children have been captured by these drug lords. Ahmad, how do you respond here?
Shabbat, yes, there is a huge shipment of drugs that are coming through our harbors as well as our international airport. And in both incidents, both these things were caught. And now we want to know who's the perpetrator for this, who is bringing it in. Yes, there is Nigerians are involved, Pakistanis are involved, Chinese are involved. There's a whole host. This is run by a police syndicate that is a mafia that they're running this year. And this is the getaway from here, from KZN, is going all over to the country. mind you, I must tell you also, Shafat, and in our Muslim schools, apparently, I've just heard recently that drugs is being sold to our students there. And the way they do it is, Shafat, you know, they know if that guy, that lighty or that student is a well-to-do, he comes from a well-to-do family, they give him, you know, he buys his 100 rand or 200 rand a time, you buy those tablets, and then he eventually they tell him, no, you don't have to worry, how much you want. He gets it on account basis. So the account runs, now if he's buying it maybe twice a week or thrice a week, it's costing him 600 rand. Now his account, now he's got free access. Now the guy is giving him on account. Now his account is running in the 5,000, 6,000, up to maybe 10,000 rand sometime. They let the account run. And Shafat, when they put the brakes on you, they come to you and say, listen here, we're not interested. You're owing us a 40K. We want it not yesterday, we want it today. Now that poor student is in Perashan. He is going home and he's seeing whatever his mother's jewelry, his father's Rolex watches, whatever. He's just to save his skin because these are mafias. And they're drug lords. They don't want to hear nothing, Shafar. They just take you away. So they put the pressure on him. And eventually, that child cracks. And some of them even commit suicide in a case like this. And then he goes and confess himself to his parents, this is what is happening. Now the parents intervene and they pay the drug lord the money and try and see if he can stay away from it and go and put him in a rehab or whatever it is. This is the actual fact. This is the actual fact that is happening at the moment in our schools and all over the country. And you know who they're targeting? They're targeting the mediocre families and all that. Those children, they will go and do whatever it takes to go and steal to pay the drug lordship.
Yes, sir, Ahmad, I'm looking at a message. It's coming from, who's this one? Yeah, Boniface, this is lower. Yes, it's from Muhammad. Muhammad says, Assalamu alaikum, Shafat Ahmad Khan and Ahmad Farak. The other day, I was talking to Val Bartman, and he was telling me over 3,000 kidnappings have been reported across the country in the past 3 months. That's my first question. What type of intelligence has South Africa that they can't pick up these kidnapping syndicates? Number two, Ahmad Farak, I want to know, in Itikweni, what type of intelligence do we have? Do we have the type of people that know exactly what's happening in the ground, who's planning what and who's doing what? It seems as if people here know nothing. Please, Ahmad, advise. Ahmad, how you respond here?
Shafat, our brother who posed this question is 100% right. This, the figure that he's given us is 3,022 at the moment, only from April 1st to the end of June. Now you're leaving out July, August, September, now we're into October. How much that number has risen drastically? That's one. Secondly, the intelligence in the country we're talking about, national government as well as provincial government, as Tigwini municipality, there is no intelligence anymore, Shafat. It's history. It's so bad at the moment. If you get, you know, you can sail a 40-foot container in front of them, they won't know what went past them. That's how bad it is. So the thing is this, we don't have a system where our guys are well geared up what's going to happen next. There is nothing like that in the city, in the country at the moment. Previously, the national government had a good intelligence. In Mandela's time, they had a good intelligence. In Becky's time, they had good intelligence people, solid people. They knew what was coming at them. They knew how to attack that problem. But today, we don't have that. That is a big problem that we are facing in the country at the moment with Shabab.
Brother from Pumalanga, he says, Assalamu alaikum. Loud and clear, Brother Shafa'at, Marcus Sahaba, in this part of the world. I want to ask Ahmad Farak, as a counselor in our part of the world, a traffic cop who solicited a bribe on duty has been granted bail. But guess what, Ahmad Farak? The bail is only 500 rand. What is this? Is this a joke? Ahmad, how you respond to brother in Pumalanga?
Shafa'at, our law is so full. This is the problem with our justice system. Our justice system is very, very weak. in terms that is concerned. Yet we have the best constitution in the world, but when it comes to our justice system, it's weak. When a guy can go and kill somebody tomorrow and then he goes to court, they detain him. He has to, the law says you have to go and bring him before the judge or before a magistrate. He comes before a magistrate. The magistrate is compelled, either if he's got a good attorney or an advocate, he puts up a good argument, he's not flight risk or anything, he gets 3,000 rand bail for killing somebody. Yet somebody will go and accept bribe in traffic cops are accepting bribe left, right, and center, and he can go get a bail of 500 rand. This is just not on. This is our justice system. That's the problem we face with. If we clamp down on our justice system, don't give bail, the problem is our jails are overflowing at the moment, because in one cell where you're supposed to only have 10 people, now they've got 40 people there. That's the other problem. So that's where they're looking at it as well. They'd rather give the guy bail instead of put him there, because there's no space in the jails anymore.
Yeah, Ahmed, Marshall, a lot of messages coming through. Suleiman says, Ahmed, I heard that they are these tanker owners that are deliberately sabotaging water pipes so that they can have the tanker business to deliver water to different areas. I don't know how true that is. Please, Ahmed, in this country, I will believe anything, but maybe you will tell us the truth. Ahmed, how do you respond to Suleiman there?
Shafak, we have seen it over and over in the city, in the province, how they sabotage. You can put a new pump station for 80 million and within 90 days, that pump station is not working, because that same contractor who was assigned to put that pump station has been reassigned to come and fix it and rebuild the municipality. That is what's happening. In our city here in KZN, in municipality, we have already bought 40 of brand spanking new tankers that we are servicing the people. But why should we be buying 40 tankers? We should be fixing the infrastructure in terms of getting the pipes sorted out, then getting tankers and servicing the people. It's just not right, because now what is going to, they bought this 40 tankers just to buy time. Instead of fixing the piping and making sure that area gets water adequately on time, but they went and bought tankers, so now they're buying time. This is just not right. This is what we are taking up with the council at the moment. And you'll see, you must be seen on Tuesday. We were at the ICC, the ANC Women's League. They had the ANC Women's League function at the ICC, cost them just over 5 million. Yet they built it to the Itigwini municipality. Now they're saying no, the taxpayer must pay. So we put a stop to it, and it was every single media, radio, your radio, and everywhere else in the country. We put a massive stop to it, and we made the mayor Kaunda tell us exactly if this function took place. He says yes. Did the invoice come to Itigwini municipality? He says yes. So why have an ANC Women's League program at the ICC, yet the ratepayers must pay? ANC must pay. So that's where we're coming hard at them. We are already in court when it comes to the Rosu, where it's going through to our rivers as well as the sea. That is why we're taking them head on everything that they're putting their foot wrong. We're coming at them. But unfortunately, we get bombarded in council because the EFF and the ANC has got the numbers. Now, this is where I tell our community, we need to bring the ANC EFF numbers down so that we can form a good coalition and we can govern this city, govern this province, and that's where we'll be able to give you your service delivery, Shafak.
Alhamdulillah, you heard this message here from Jamil. He says, Assalamu alaikum. I must tell you, Brother Shafaat Ahmad Khan, that Marcus Sahaba is a popular radio station here in our part of the world of Newcastle. And Alhamdulillah, you also give us the opportunity to listen to some top guests, and one of them being Ahmad Parak. Jazakallah khair for that. He says, here in the Newcastle regional court, there were certain individuals caught stealing copper to the value of 129,000 rands. But Ahmed, I want to know, the stealing from Transnet, surely it should have been stopped by now. But the government let it happen. Do they have a hand with this criminality? Is ANC getting a cut for its next elections in all these robberies and all these things that are taking place? I heard something like this. It is allegations, but many do believe it's the truth. How do you respond to Jameel there, Ahmad?
Shafan, Jameel has hit it right onto the nail here. If your infrastructure, if Transnet, if you got a building where you stay in Spingo Beach, and if your foundation is not strong, what happens, Shafat? When heavy rains like what we got over this weekend here, it will start shifting your building. You'll find cracks are coming. You'll have all these things happening. It's the same thing is at Transnet. Transnet, for the last 5-6 years, they do not have a solid leader. That leader is supposed to be leading the people. And if you cannot get proper people to work at Transnet, you're opening doors for people to steal there. This is a whole syndicate within Transnet is stealing their own copper and selling it out to the scrap yards and to the dealers, and this is what is happening. And when this guy got caught now, he's spilling the beans on everybody, how he got it, when he got it, and where he got it from. So things are starting to look up now, but it is the source you need to start tackling. When you catch one guy, he now need to start singing from exactly who are the other ones. But there is the inside link that is coming from Transnet that is causing the problem for us.
Salim Khan says, Assalamu alaikum, a lovely show indeed. On the scrap metal thing, I like to add my 20 cents views here, Blue Chef. He says, the scrap metal business owners were arrested after Eskom property was found on the premises. Also in KZN, thieves were sentenced to 15 years for being in possession of copper cables worth over 550,000 rand. Seven suspects were arrested for theft of copper cables valued around 270 rand in Pietermaritzburg. And Brother Shafaz, during the investigation, it was established that the copper cable was stolen from Transnet railway lines at Shlopane and Mushlongo. Learn your Zulu, and then you can do dawa with the Zulus. Ahmad, you know your Zulu very well, isn't it? You're doing dawa for many years with them. But jazakallah to Salim Khan for giving us more statistics, Ahmad.
Shabbat, you know, this copper theft thing, what we saying, and my party is saying, actually, is saying, we are saying, you know what, like at the moment, you're finding baked beans, wrappers, proper baked beans wrappers, but when you open the till, the fish is coming out. You know, this is the problem that we face with all these spaza shops. They're selling expired goods. How many children passed away in the last 1 week? Three small children, because for poisoning. They're selling expired goods, and they're selling goods that is like, you know, in some of the meat that is rotten, that is supposed to be buried. That is what is going on to the open market. And you'll see in Gauteng, they have already started closing this spaza shop. No, closing. We have to control the spaza shop business and the scrap metal business. When you control that business, then you will be able to sort all the criminals out of it. Because now you know how many people are, how many scrap dealers are in KZN. How many spaza shops is in KZN? How many spaza shops are in Gauteng? All over the province. You need to have control. Our control systems are so bad. That's where we're falling short. And that's where we're having problem at the moment. So our scrap metal dealers, they're in cahoots with all these big syndicates. And they're just bringing it in. And they're doing it so fast, Shafat. They get this copper within a day, 2 days, it's in the harbor, it's been shipped overseas to China, to wherever. Now, that's where our problem is. You need to now close them up. As soon as you find that guy convicted, you close that whole business up. You might lose 130 people losing their business, the employment, but you'll teach. You'll have to set example. That's what you'll have to do. Close, like what they're doing in Gauteng, closing all the spaza shop. Set an example, because they're selling rotten food, they're changing rappers on big beans, tin fish, lucky you get your lucky star fish. They're changing the wrappers, but something else is coming out from these cans, and this is just not right. You have to start having, you have to have a control of all these things. Yet this is where we're falling short. We're giving them, people are coming from, the foreign nationals are coming from all over the country. Free, you got no issue. They're coming here, they pay at the border 200 or 500 rand. The guy is here in South Africa. He's coming and making living here, and he's sending the money across, and he's making big problems here for us in South Africa in terms of our infrastructure. He's stealing, they're murdering. We cannot close. We got over 5,000 dockets. We cannot even close them at the moment because of, we can't find those. There's no, we can't find them because the guy did the damage here in South Africa and he's gone back to his own country. He's got paid and he's gone. So we can't even close those dockets. And they're bringing the fake goods. How much got destroyed in Cape Town this week alone? You can't let it, because then you won't have an industry left. You won't have a business left in this country anymore.
Yeah, brother, brilliant indeed. And now, mashallah, you're firing on all cylinders this morning. Abdul Mukhtar says, assalamu alaikum. Great straight talk, brother Chef and Ahmad Parak. I want to know from Ahmad, what are the figures or what are the statistics or what's the population of the informal settlements? How many people are living there? Because last night from the area where I live, it was raining badly. I don't blame them, but they were shouting and screaming at us. Isn't this the job of the municipality, not as residents, to feed and clothe these unfortunate people? Ahmad, how you respond to Ahmad Mukhtar?
Ahmad Mukhtar, he needs, the statistic is 560 informal settlement in Durban and surrounding, in the Itigwini alone, in our municipality. 560, that's the exact count. And I don't know how many thousands of people are living in this informal, or you can call it the jondols. That's one. Secondly, there's drugs are being sold there. There's liquor is being sold there. You name it, it's been sold in this informal settlement. As far as the housing is concerned, you know, recently you saw 130 million was sent back to the national government because our council couldn't do anything about it. They don't even have a plan how to put this low-cost housing. And there's also, there's how many people got caught in the last 1 month. They took the money for this informal settlement housing and they have used it up for something else. So those guys have been detained at the moment. The case is still on. So, you know, this is the problem that we are faced with. Things can get done here. We can eliminate the informal settlement. Now you'll find more informal settlement mushrooming up because the ANC, and you know something, Shafa, even the DA is putting up informal settlements in our elite, near our elite area, because they need the votes now. That's how it's getting so bad, Shafa.
Ahmad, yeah, that's news to us, and we know that many objections come for different things. And finally, you know, this point here where many are saying there's going to be a new airport coming there at Richards Bay. And, you know, I really miss our old Durban airport. It was so easy for me within 3 minutes out at the airport and 3 minutes back home. And now I must drive all the way to, yeah, that part of the world, past Berelum and then past Dongat, and there must be at Ushaka. Is there any truth in that Richards Bay will have another international airport, Ahmad?
Shafa, at the moment, it is true, they are doing due diligence at the moment, because you can see even the major container terminal they're going to be putting up there. Also, your old airport, you're 100% right. They're going to extend our old airport to a container terminal for the ships to come. Now, in Richards Bay, if you see the harbor, the major big ships cannot come to Durban to offload here, but they can offload in Richards Bay because they have got the deeper waters for the bigger ships to come through to the harbor. Yes, there is truth in the opening of the new airport it will take maybe 3 to 5 years, Shafat. You know, everything, yeah, it's at standstill at the moment. It can take, but proper due diligence is being taken for. Our harbor has been assigned by a company in Philippines to come and do our harbor, to upgrade our harbor. That is going to be taking place in the new year. So things are looking up in terms of that is concerned. And there will be a new link road which they're going to be doing that can take all the trucks, take them away from Esplanade, to take them away, take them through to the bluff and bring them to the harbor. So there is a whole thing that they're busy putting together, Shabbat.
That's Jazakallah, Mother, really straight talk, really talking from the hip and thinking. Ahmad, your parting words this morning?
Shabbat, you know, we Muslim, we crying for everything we think. There is no water, there is potholes, there is raw sewage coming, there's no electricity, everything. Do not keep crying for everything. We need to now take steps to say the city is not giving us the infrastructure, is not giving us service delivery. What can we do? You cannot hold the money of the city in terms of rates and water or anything. Pay that account. But now you need to bombard them with paperwork. Send them email. If you send it to the department who is involved with water, you don't get a response. Send it to the city manager. You don't get a response from the city manager. Take it to the mayor. You need to keep attacking them. That's when you will start getting service delivery, because you keep attacking them, like what we are doing at the moment. We attack them for every front. Keep attacking them. And I'm telling you, and now if our people unite in what we want, because you are paying. You cannot pay and suffer. You're paying for service delivery. You're paying for water. You're paying for electricity. Next week, Shafat, I'm going to be putting up an ad on all the media as well as all the radio station. We're putting up a center in Musgrave. You come down with your electricity bill. We got specially trained people will assess your account and tell you, you know what, for the last 4 months, 5 months, because they have averaged your electricity bill, you're supposed to get credit so much. We will show you how to fill the form. We will assist you to fill the form. We will tell you how to log it at the municipality and how you can get your claim. So we want to attack the council for overcharging all our community. So I know when I put this ad, I know one thing for sure, I want to have maybe 500 to 1,000 or 1,500 people in a queue just to come and get this free service, which we're going to be assisting the community, Shafat.
Well done, Ahmad. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.